This is Norma Walton Talks. Today we're talking about the benefit of slow and steady. So when you think about slow and steady, what first comes to my mind is health, your personal health. My great-grandfather died of a heart attack at age 60. My grandfather died of a heart attack at age 60, 3 days before I was born, on my dad's side. So my dad, when he was 60, had a stent installed. And as a result, he's still with me many years later, for which I am eternally grateful. And as a result, I think I will likely suffer heart problems. So being aware of that, I try to do what the heart healthy guidelines tell you, which is eat sensibly or somewhat sensibly and exercise 15 to 30 minutes a day if you can. I don't always do that by any stretch. I maybe do it once every 2 days, sometimes once every three, but the point is I'm focused on it, and as a result, I do it a lot more than I would if I wasn't focused on it. When you think about financial health, it's very similar. If you can spend 15 minutes a day focusing on your financial health, you will find the benefit of slow and steady is that a year from now, that 15 minutes a day adds up and you will be better off than you are today. So what do I mean by spending 15 minutes focusing on financial health? There's four components that I suggest you look at. Undoubtedly, there's a lot more than that, and I'd love to hear from you as to what those are. But in my view, if you spend 15 minutes a day focusing on four things, a year from now you will be better off. The first component of that is a budget analysis to try to determine where you can create savings in your lifestyle. The second is selling what you don't need as opposed to want. The third is to focus your work to try to make more money. And the fourth is to seek out savings on purchases. So those are four components that I think will make a big difference for you over the next year if you spend that 15 minutes a day focused on them. So let's talk about the first one, a budget analysis. Doesn't sound like fun, I know. Root canal comes up to mind. The first part of a budget analysis is you have to have a budget. And there's some tools online that will allow you to sort of fill in your budget. A good one, ironically, are the family law forms for Ontario, where they literally, you know, detail every single expenditure you could ever think about, including newspapers and your child's optical plan and you know, the toiletries you need. So find a tool online that gives you budget items and fill it out, because that's your first step in being able to analyze a budget, is to have a budget. The second step is to write down everything you spend money on in one day, because what you may find is you forget things in your budget. So if you literally take a little notebook with you and write down, okay, I just spent $5 on coffee, I just spent $10 on, you know, upgrading my TTC pass, then you sort of, the things that maybe you didn't put in your budget, you can add back. And then the final component of that is to actually look at that budget and say, okay, I now see what I spend a month. Is there anything in there that I can create some savings on, or that I don't need, or that I can change so that I can actually save a bit of money each month? And an example for me recently was our Bell bill. We get internet, home phone, and TV for $100 a month. And last month, the bill was $147. So I called up Bell, which is a painful experience, and I said, you know, why is it $147? And he said, well, you've got all sorts of long distance charges across Ontario where you're calling from your home phone. And I said, well, is there a plan for that? And he said, yeah, there's a plan. It's $13 a month for unlimited calling in Ontario. So unfortunately, it's going to go from 100 to 113, but that's better than 147. So that's an example of looking at a line item on your budget and trying to figure out if you can eliminate it or reduce it. Because again, it's only, you know, the difference between 147 and 113, but that amount of money every month is $400 a year. It's a lot of money when you think about it. That's, you know, maybe a nice weekend away or a couple nights in a hotel with dinner and stuff. So it's worth doing. The second component, selling what you don't need, my children are ages 5 to 12, and they are quite amusing how they use the word need. And I'm sure many parents will identify with me on this. Mommy, I need new shoes. Yes, you need new shoes, but you may not need $200 shoes. Oh no, I need the Kyries. I can't do Skechers. I need the branded shoes. Well, you may want the branded shoes, but you don't need them. Another example of that is, oh, mommy, I need to go to Canada's Wonderland. Well, you know, you may want to go to Canada, but you don't need to go to Canada's Wonderland. So when you think about selling what you don't need, focus on the fact that it's a need, not a want. If you try to think about what items you could sell, I find when I look at my house, it's just full of stuff. So trying to figure out if you can have a garage sale or list some stuff on Kijiji. One of my sons has outgrown some of his branded basketball shoes. So he and I were chatting about how he wants to put them on Kijiji and sell them to defray some of the cost of his original purchase. So that's an excellent example of how you can look at selling stuff that you no longer need. Another example is Once Upon a Child will give you about $1 per item of clothing if you have nice clothing that you no longer fit your child and don't have someone that you can give it to. So that's the second component of your 15 minutes a day. The third component is to focus your work to make more money. And a great example of this is a lot of people are paid overtime. So if you volunteer to work one weekend a month, and you're paid 1.5 or 2 times your pay, that's a significant amount of money more than what you have right now. The other thing is a lot of my girlfriends are doing multi-level marketing businesses. So they find that they're able to make an extra $50 a month from that business. Well, $50 a month is nothing to sneeze about. That's $600 a year. That's not bad at all. So those are things to think about when you're looking at your work. The other thing is, can you focus your day to sort of key in on the money-making stuff and reduce the non-money-making stuff? So if you're in any sort of sales business, that old adage of 80% of your money comes from 20% of your clients is a great example of how you can focus in on the people who are making you money and not spend as much time on that on the bottom 80 that aren't as profitable. So again, during that 15 minutes a day, think about how can I make more money? Can I babysit a friend's child, you know, once a week for a couple of hours? Can I do some second job for, 10 hours a week that makes me some more money? Is there any way that I can open a business online to take advantage of the fact that I'm a great sewer or a great quilter or a great knitter, those types of things. So all sorts of ways that you can think about how do I increase my income. The fourth component is to seek out savings on purchases. My girlfriend swears by the app Flip, which is a coupon app. And she tells me that it saves her and her husband $50 a week. Well, $50 a week is $2,500 a year, which is a nice vacation, if you think about it, for two people. So I'm very impressed that she's able to find $50 a week in savings from Flip. What I find we do is we typically shop at Metro, and we will always buy stuff that's on sale. So we love Activia vanilla yogurt, and the kids know if it's on 3 for $7, we're buying 10 of them. Last night we had pepperoni pizza from Value Mart. It was on regular $8 for 4 because it was only good until last night. So again, just being aware of savings when you go to buy stuff makes a huge difference. That old expression, a dollar saved is $2 that you would have had to earn. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Boxing Day. If you can wait on a purchase, especially one that's significant, think of the money you'll save if you're able to buy it for 50% off the regular price. So those are all examples. You know, if you can buy it used as opposed to new, furniture is a great example of that. Furniture, the minute you take it out of the showroom, it drops to like 10 cents on the dollar. So if you can buy used furniture as opposed to new, you'll save a lot of money. If you can buy used cars as opposed to new, you usually save money. So anything you can think about where you can save on your purchases will assist you in improving your financial health a year from now. So those are my four ideas for how you might spend 15 minutes a day improving your financial health. I would love to hear from you as to whether you have other ideas on that score. This is Norma Walton Talks, and I hope that you will talk back.